Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday.
And good morning.
This will be airing November the 15th. We're taping it actually just slightly before the election. So you'll actually know the outcome of the election. We can't say for sure.
But hopefully.
But maybe you will. And so we'll, you know, hopefully we'll understand it. We'll talk a little bit about it today. And then when we pick it up again, we'll do it. There's lots of things going on from Israel. We've had, you know, some great input, you know, from Eric and Rabbi Ephraim of that. And I don't know, and this is what's so beautiful of what God has done for us, Kathy, to connect us with people that have a heart for truth, can present the truth,
right,
that we could actually understand it
and right,
has a perspective on that truth. Thank you for Denny and his friends there. But Eric, we had a question for Eric. He was, I think he was the last couple, maybe at the end of October, maybe even November the 1st, you'll see it. But he said, because remember Iran had attacked Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it with missiles from Iran, and it was several hundred, like 200 to 300 missiles into populated areas, and they got most of them. There was some damage, but they had a pretty good barrage. And you know, if you think of the whole scenario over there, it started October 7th, 2023,
right,
with Hamas attacking Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Not only with missiles, which they typically do, but they did a ground operation that they
right,
went in.
And taking went in all the hostages.
Hostages, and killed 1,500 people at a concert. Mm. And so Israel said, okay, that's enough. And they went in basically and attacked Gaza. And at the moment, they've completely neutralized Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken out their leaders. They've destroyed all their capability. They're still in existence, so they're not completely gone. But they've basically neutralized them. And if you think of Iran is really the linchpin or the leading nation that is a Shiite,
mm-hmm,
that has a desire to eliminate Israel.
Right.
And they have the money and they have the wherewithal to supply what's called in a political or a military operation, proxies.
Mm-hmm.
Proxies is somebody else does things that we want them to do, and it's not coming from us, but we come from somebody else, but we fund that proxy.
Right. Which is what they've really done with Hamas and Hezbollah, right?
Yeah. So okay. Hamas was a big proxy. Well, that was neutralized. And then Hezbollah on the north side in Lebanon, they are another proxy. And as the Hamas thing was getting taken care of by Israel, Hezbollah stepped up their action.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the audience remembers, but we showed pictures of the complete northern border of Israel on fire.
Right, right.
And they were, you know, missiles and burning and et cetera.
And that was going on long before we saw it on the news around here.
Yes.
Yeah.
We actually, interesting enough, most people never saw it here in America. Israel said, okay, we're not going to allow them. They had to take 100,000 people and move them and house them because they couldn't live there any longer. So they said, well, we don't want to live that way. And we're being attacked again. So they went in and they did that clever thing with the walkie-talkies and the mm-hmm pagers that eliminated a lot of the leadership. And then they went in and bombed and did ground activity. What they're trying to do is push them back behind the Etani River. That is a distance where they can't generally lob missiles, short-term missiles into Israel. And that's what the United Nations originally member had agreed to, what they didn't honor. So they're trying to push them back to that point. And they're succeeding, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And because of what they did, they're not able to, you know, wage much of a counteraction, Hezbollah I'm talking about. Well, Iran, with their two proxies kind of being neutralized,
mm-hmm.
they said, well, we're going to have to do something. And they lobbed these missiles. And Israel, and this is interesting to me, and I think it's probably how they approach everything, is I think if it was America, I would think we would just immediately respond.
Right.
You know, we'd be meeting what's called in the war room in at the White House, and they would all gather and say, okay, tomorrow we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ability to do it. Well, Israel, they don't operate that way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say tomorrow. They said, well, let's consider what we're going to do. And it took them about a month almost.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric, we said, okay, Eric, what are they going to do? He said, well, there's three possibilities. One, they're going to attack their nuclear capability.
Mm-hmm.
He said, which would be advantageous ultimately to Israel to eliminate that capability, because that's the big threat.
Right.
But America and the potential danger of that,
mm-hmm.
is that if you destroy something and release, you know, nuclear, you know, particles in the air, you actually could destroy yourself.
Yeah, there's a lot of ramifications for that and a lot of risk.
So nuclear, number two was fuel and mm-hmm. the energy. And they said that would be the most effective because it could cripple their economy
mm-hmm.
and take away their ability to keep funding, you know, the wars. However, he said he recognized that, yep, they could do that, but it would actually impact the world energy
mm-hmm.
pricing, maybe availability. And by the way, not only, he said other countries like Saudi Arabia could pick up the demand, no problem. He says, but they ship the oil through what's called the Suez Canal, the Straits of Hormuz, and Iran has a big impact on the Straits of Hormuz, and they can put what they call mines in the water and blow up ships that have oil in them, so they can mm-hmm. disrupt, you know, the entire world supply. And they said so that could be dangerous. And then the third possibility was military.
Mm-hmm.
Military meaning where there's leadership. And where there's arms and missiles and capabilities, and they know where they are. And so he said he thought what they should do is one nuclear, then two energy, and third military.
Mm-hmm.
He said what they will do is military.
Mm.
And we were like, okay, this will be interesting. He said they haven't decided yet. Remember, he said they haven't decided yet. Well, since the last time we were on, they did it. They attacked the military.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do nuclear. They didn't do fuel. They did a very precise. They sent 140 jets over Iran and bombed specific locations, military locations, and had great destruction of those military locations. That now is about a week to 10 days old.
There was a leak from an American, as I understand, on what the plan was. Was that still the plan they carried forward, or did they end up carrying forward a different plan? I never heard the details of the plan that was leaked.
Well, at the time of the leak, they were saying, you know, here's our priorities.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this, this, and this. And, you know, they were leaking it. I think part of that leak was that they were considering, you know, nuclear.
Okay.
And it wasn't like, here's our exact plan that we're going to do.
Okay.
The leak was, here's the priorities and here's where we're headed and we're considering this.
Okay.
And that was what was leaked. And that whole thing is, you know, is funny how it all happens anyway. So what Eric said they were going to do, they did.
Mm-hmm.
And there has not been another action to the reaction on Iran's part.
Yet. Is there any buzz that there will be? Is that, what is the thought on that?
Well, Israel, you know, after basically they did the action,
mm-hmm.
They didn't continue to press the action.
Okay.
Now, that's a little bit different than Gaza and Hezbollah.
Right.
Hamas and Hezbollah. Hamas, they spent all year
mm-hmm.
going after it. Hezbollah, they've gone a couple of months and they've gone after it. And they're still going after it. With Iran, they did one action. They didn't keep going after it. And what they said to Iran is, look, we just demonstrated what we could do. If we were you, we would just cease. Do not bring another action against us, because if you do, we're going to press it.
More will come.
And we can. And so let's just all call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you did what you did. We did what we did. We now know where we stand. Neither one of us, you know, are going to, you know, stop protecting ourselves and trying to, you know, prosecute what we think is right. So we just think it would behoove you to not do another action against us.
Right. To let this be the final say on that one.
And at the moment, that appears to be where it's going, is that Iran is going to just, you know, they'll come up with some threat or something, but they won't. I don't think they'll carry out another action,
mm-hmm.
apparently. But we'll see. We'll ask when Eric and them are on next. We want to ask them that question. You know,
absolutely. Okay, yeah.
Given all that's happened, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran, you know, what do you think is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they say. But that's all been in play.
Can I ask one more question about the Hezbollah side of things? As they push them back to the other side of the river, what does that then look like? Does Israel occupy that land up to the river to keep it protected? What does a going forward plan of that look like to keep that buffer?
They will, basically they will, and they have gone in with what's called ground troops.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember in Gaza, the biggest action post-attack was they went in and started to destroy all the tunnels.
Right, the tunnels, which Hezbollah has even more, right?
Hezbollah has more and more sophisticated tunnels and bigger tunnels in that place between Israel and the Etani River.
Okay.
So they're going to go in and physically destroy tunnels and do some occupation there, and then probably work with the United Nations and Lebanon. And remember that this is something that does need to be understood. Gaza and Hamas, in a way, think of it as synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and that's, remember Eric made the statement that you and I were like, oh, that explains a lot. Is we have a tendency in the way the world is portrayed with the news is that the citizens of Gaza are innocent. They're just caught up in a war being led by a few fanatics.
Right.
And they're the ones that are getting harmed by the attack by the fanatics, and then Israel coming in and basically destroying a lot of Gaza and displacing them. By the way, and this explains a lot, Egypt, that's across the border, would not accept the citizens of Gaza.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. Well, the reason is that the citizens and the leadership of Hamas are synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
There's the entire population is Shiite to the level of they all want to destroy Israel. And that's why he said, we're not just eliminating a few fanatics. The entire nation wants to destroy Israel, and they're caught up in it. And so they support Hamas because that's who they are. And therefore, they're caught up in what do we do now?
Right.
With our country being destroyed, Egypt won't accept us. And they're living in basically camps. By the way, this is interesting. Guess who supplies them with food, water, and shelter? Israel.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, Eric talked about the amount of aid that Israel was sending in there being exorbitant. Yeah.
Yeah. But it hasn't been decided from the country, the area, Gaza. Okay, what are you going to do now?
Right.
If you agree to certain things, i.e. stop attacking Israel, we'll bring in money. We'll get international money to come in and rebuild you. But you're going to have to agree to certain things. They haven't agreed to that yet.
Right.
So that's still in limbo. We'll talk to Eric about that and the rabbi. Okay. In the Lebanon, Hezbollah is a different group than the nation of Lebanon.
More of a subgroup, is that?
No, they would be a independent group that because of their power, Lebanon accepted that, but they also don't support it. So the average citizen of Lebanon, who's north of Israel, is not, they themselves say, we want to support and become Hezbollah as a nation, and everybody, let's attack Israel. They would like to say, you know what? Why don't we just go back to living in peaceful conditions? We just would like to exist with our country and let Israel be theirs. And we don't want to attack them and kill them. But there's a group, Hezbollah, that they've allowed in their country to pull off this action. And Hezbollah, see, has a military strength that Lebanon doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So they're afraid of them. And, you know, I guess we'll just let them do what they're going to do. Well, Israel said, we're not going to put up with that anymore. But they're coming against Hezbollah itself, not Lebanon.
Interesting. Okay.
So when they push them back, it'll be up to Lebanon to decide what they want to do with it. But okay. I can tell you, whatever it looks like, they will no longer allow them to come south of that river,
right,
and regain the ability to attack Israel from south of that river. And that'll be a question for Eric. Okay, how are they going to do that?
Exactly.
Do they occupy it? Do they have forces there? Do they make sure the thing and they have some kind of safeguard? How are they going, once they push them back?
How do they guarantee that safety? Yeah.
How do they keep it? So that'll be a question. I can just say to you, they will. and then, of course, Iran, you know, has to decide what exactly, you know, do we do in terms of their, because their ideology is still to eliminate Israel.
Right.
And by the way, Christians along with it. And then as we know, while that's going on, we have an election that's going to be decided here. We're taping it prior to the election. And when we next visit, we'll know the answer to that. And that'll have a big bearing on, is it the Trump administration, who will be much more pro-Israel support,
mm-hmm.
and the Harris administration, which would not be so much. And that'll be interesting to see what happens when we next have Eric and a rabbi on, we'll know the answer.
Which will be fantastic, because I love hearing their opinions from outside the country, what they're watching and what they're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll, you know, explain it. What we'd like to remind everybody is, because it's, if you look at the Middle East is heating up,
mm-hmm.
and the focus is all this happening in Israel, which we ultimately know if we are entering into a period of where there'll be a tribulation and the end, that Israel stands alone.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that Israel isn't destroyed, and then the believing world is caught up in it. So if you would, we're gonna spend more time on this, but go to Revelation chapter 13. And what we want to do today is we're going to come back and read the entire section, but go just today, read verses 11 through 18.
Sure. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666.
Yeah. And the 666 is, there'll be a name,
mm-hmm.
of that person. And in Hebrew, they assign numbers to the letters.
Okay.
And so when that name is known and you take the numbers and add them all up, it'll be 666.
Oh, interesting.
So it'll be, that person, and he is, the Antichrist. And so what it's saying here is that as we look at where it's headed, we look at political forces,
mm-hmm.
and you got Israel, you've got Iran, you've got the Shiites, you've got Russia, China, North Korea. They're going to line up with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, they're going to lead, and they're called Gog and Magog. They're going to lead the battle of Armageddon to bring their military, 200 million military, with which will be the entire world coming against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see here, we saw it in Daniel, and we see it here, is that and this is something we got to keep remembering, is that it's not just political forces.
Right.
It's Satan. It's the demonic, who is principalities and powers, who are lining up mm-hmm. to eliminate anybody. And if you think of the symbolism here, creates an image mm-hmm. and you have to worship the image.
Right.
Why? Because they say he's God. Okay, now we actually know another time in history where that happened. Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar did what he did. He built an image.
Right.
And said, you have to worship the image. If you don't worship the image, you're going to get killed.
Right.
And it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, if you don't worship this image, you're going to be tossed into the fiery furnace, the fire. And they said, look, we're not doing it. We believe God can save us. And if he doesn't, we get to go be with him. Hallelujah. But we're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. And they were, of course, tossed into the fiery furnace. And then Jesus was there and they didn't get harmed. And Nebuchadnezzar afterwards said, okay, you can live and we'll actually promote you now. And it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. In this case, there's going to be a request to worship. And if he doesn't worship the image, he said, they're going to kill people.
Right.
Which will be believers. And again, this goes back to this whole aspect of the rapture, is the world willingly worships him. Mm-hmm. The only ones that don't are believers who are part of the remnant. And then we're perhaps caught up in that moment where we may be killed because of it. And we'll explore that a little bit further. But what we want to say is that you got very dynamic things going on in Israel right now, mm-hmm. In Israel, in the Middle East, against Israel. You got very dynamic things happening in the election. and regardless of the outcome, what we want to say is don't get caught up in the political pieces of that.
Right.
Or think that, well, this is now going to dictate what's going to happen. What's going to dictate what's going to happen is principalities and powers.
Right.
That are, in fact, lining up to move toward the tribulation and then toward the end. And it's actually ordained by God, because he actually needs it to happen mm-hmm. in order to bring about.
For the rest of his plan. Yes.
The plan of restoration of Israel. They become believers, the millennium. All of this is in play in the return of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so we just keep highlighting that, keep thinking much bigger and much more spiritual, and don't get caught up in, what's going to happen to me? Rather, it could be, and this is my perspective on it, we could be living in the most exciting time of history. Mm-hmm. It'll be scary. And it'll be like, this could have consequences, but we could be in the most interesting time where things get settled spiritually. And to me, I'm looking forward to the millennium and then to the new heaven and a new earth. Mm-hmm. And how cool is this going to be? You know, so it's going to be an interesting time. So just everybody, you know, keep thinking that way. And then our encouragement is keep going to God. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say? What do you want me to do to prepare? What do you want me to do to have community? What do you want me to do to understand it and not be fearful?
Right. But to be aware of the spiritual battle that's going on around you. I think raising our awareness, like even just looking at what's going on in Israel, I think is a physical depiction of what's going on in the spiritual battles right now.
Exactly. Yep.
And so being aware of what's going on and armor of God, and absolutely spending time growing with him, growing in Christian community, and growing your intimacy with him is so important right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And because of it, I do believe that God says, and I think he said this specifically, Dave Dunkel got this and we received it, is don't delay. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't neglect that things are in play. And you gotta listen to me, you gotta follow me and understand it. And I do believe that's true. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like, well, nothing matters and you're fine. And yeah, there's all this stuff going on. But I think God says, I think it matters. I think you need to pay attention.
Right. Yet also not panicking and taking it on your own. It's taking it to God. And what do you have to say? What would you like me to be doing?
Yeah. And don't stop living, you know. And so it's an interesting moment of, you know, keep living your life, keep believing in the covenant, but don't delay in paying attention mm-hmm. to these things. This is why we have End Times Friday, is we want to keep reminding everybody, we believe there's something up mm-hmm. and it's important to pay attention.
Yes.
And what we're trying to do is highlight the different things to pay attention to. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that We do have some understanding about what's happening in the Middle East. We do understand that the election is going to determine next steps here. And so we just pray that we'll not be afraid of it, we'll not be discouraged, or even think that a political party is going to restore everything. It's not. Rather, it's going to be what we understand from you as these things play out. And may we have wisdom and insight and encouragement about what is coming ahead. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. Always an interesting conversation. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.